is the funniest thing to me, like how much we depend on certain machines just to turn on. Like, I was thinking about that in my car this morning. I'm like, I just get in my car and I push a button and it turns on. And I never think to myself, I wonder if this will turn on today.
Yeah.
I mean, I know sometimes it doesn't work, but it's one out of 999 times. It's not.
Yeah, I would say the first 25, 30 years of me driving, I did wonder that. Like, Lord, I can't tell you how many cars Heidi and I have prayed for resurrections for.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. My first three or four cars combined. Yeah, my first four cars combined cost me $500, and that's because one of them cost me $500. I mean, they were pieces of work for sure.
I used to buy in Pennsylvania. They have that. They do like a safety check. You have to get a sticker on your car. So when my sister and brother-in-law who lived there, when their car wouldn't pass inspection anymore, I would buy it and drive it here for two more years. I did that for years.
Well, that's because you've not lived – like in Summit County, you still have to get e-check.
Well, you have to get e-check where I live too, but the this was before e-check.
Oh, I see.
So e-check came in, and then I'm not sure I even know why they do e-check anymore. But because I think we're only like two counties in the state that have to do it.
Yeah.
It's and I crazy. Think it's going away. I don't know.
It is
pretty
wild.
It's a weird thing. But now that I finally have a car that will pass e-check, they're going to take e-check away. Yeah, I just feel like I feel ripped off.
I do too. No, the amount of times in like old cars, I had to go get a new gas cap so my dad's a mechanic and the car would be old enough. I would go to his house. He's like, it's not worth fixing this thing. So let me delete the code. And hopefully by the time you get back to e-check, it's run long enough that it will register, but that the light's still off.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, like, you find this little window, I know.
You know, it's which is nuts. But that is the woes of, I guess, driving from way back when.
Yeah, when the tires on your car are worth more than your car.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the stereo is worth more than your car.
Well, one of the free cars I had... that was exactly what happened. I was over at a buddy's house, and I mean, this thing, I think it had 220,000 miles on it when I got it. So, you know, it's riding 230, 240 at the time. And I had this is 1999 or 2000.
Wow.
And I had a one of those like extra CD players that you'd put in because CDs were the thing then.
Yeah.
And I go back out of my buddy's house and the car door was jimmied open and that stereo was gone. And it was just like...
the value of my car went to zero.
Yeah, I mean, for real. I mean, it was like I had saved up so much money for that insert and yeah, it was gone.
I'm sorry, Joe. There's a lot of pain there.
It did.
Remember the car stereos that the face would pop off of them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it wouldn't get stolen. Those were only in cars where the stereo was worth more than the car.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, and it was interesting because obviously my car must have been the easy one to break into because my buddy's house that I was at, I mean, there was a Corvette in the driveway. There was all kinds of like nice, and then I had this rinky-dink Chevy Cavalier with a CD player, and that's the one that got broken into.
Yeah, and the thieves were like, I'm not going to hurt those cars.
Yeah, I don't want to disrespect people. I'm helping out this guy.
You know your car is a beater when you have a road rage incident, and you're like, please hit me.
Yeah,
I'll take the insurance money. Yep,
for sure. For sure. Well, welcome to Car Auto Magazine with, no, that's not where we're at.
Car and Driver.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? You and I were talking the other day about the piece of furniture that doesn't exist anymore, and that's the bathroom magazine rack.
Yeah. Joe misses it quite a bit, everybody.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Car and Driver, and I haven't thought of that since my dad would have had that magazine in our bathroom. Yeah. That was one of the ones he had in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. That's what you're feeling right now. What podcast am I listening to?
Yeah.
I'm getting mixed messages. Well, anyway, I'm Joe Caruso, and we're really glad you're here. There is a lot of noise out there, and it's not always clear what to believe or how to live, so we want to sort through the mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. Let's go ahead and dive in. Jeff, outside of old car woes and things like that, you doing all right?
Yeah, doing good.
Doing good?
Doing good.
Excellent. Well, I want to get into a conversation that's been swirling around a little bit because we talked about this in the last couple of episodes. We happen to be in a season where lots of folks have jumped into new groups at our church through this Rooted initiative. And one of the conversations that swirled around a little bit is, so what are the biblical benefits of being in community with other people? Like, what's in it for me? And I think that's a legit question because, Jeff, most of our lives are pretty busy. I mean, I don't remember one of the last times I've talked with somebody and I asked, how are you doing? And one of the first things they said was some version of, I'm swamped. I'm really busy. I got a lot going on. And so for us to have the audacity to say, you should try a small group. You should jump into a Rooted group. What's in it for them? Why would that be such a big deal to us?
Well, it's interesting. Oftentimes, the things that make you feel the best are the things that you're last to do.
Wow, that's good.
So a good night's sleep feels better than no night's sleep, but you're more apt to sit there and doom scroll than go to sleep.
Sure.
You have never regretted getting up and coming to church. Mm-hmm. But you have to make yourself do it. And so biblical community is like that. It is actually the answer to the things that you crave the most relationally and spiritually in your life, and it is the thing that you are least likely to do.
Yeah.
So having other people in your life like that, it creates that environment. It creates like a magnetism, like it draws you in. And it creates a degree of accountability. One of the things that's unique, I don't want anybody to feel like I'm like complaining about society,
right.
You know. But one of the things that's very different in society than it would have been, say, 20 years ago, even, is that we are hyper individualized because of our phone. Mm-hmm. So like it's fascinating. I used to. Like I'd be on an airplane or something like that, and you used to sit down and people would either put their headphones on or not. If they had their headphones on, it was the signal of don't talk to me, but you used to kind of dance it for a minute, say hi or something like that. Now nobody talks to me on an airplane. Mm-hmm. We're usually in the middle of a movie, we're listening to a podcast as we're boarding. Well, that's kind of life, you know, that I have my personal algorithms, I have my watch cue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, I'm not complaining, I'm just like stating that that's the way it is. Well, that is where all the anxiety and all the depression and all the isolation is coming from and fueled from, right? And then we're like, what I want is to be known and to know people, but I'm more apt to sit here and doom scroll. And so when there is no set of relationships and when there is no magnetism or draw, like there's people waiting on me, mm-hmm. I told them I would show up. And then with that, there's like a bit of accountability, like, hey, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Well, we're just, the less there is of that, the more we are to go into our private screen world and really live an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. Like we'll be so into characters and those kind of things. Like you and I love movies, both of us do, and we'll talk about Luke Skywalker and we'll talk about Iron Man, like they're real people. Mm-hmm. Well, you factor that 10x, and that's the world, you're more obsessed with Hawkins, Indiana than you are like your own life.
Oh, I see that all the time because where I either proudly or ashamedly take that a layer deeper than you tend to, like I'll get into these forums sometimes about these movies and stuff like that just to see what other people are saying. And sometimes you're like, bro, go touch grass.
Yeah.
Like you are way over emotionally invested into what this character did or didn't do and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a pretty big fan, but gosh, like you're locked into your alternate
universe. You're
locked
in. And guys, hear me. This is a guy that I like movie. I build a theater in my house. I like movies and I enjoy them and my family does and they're fun. I like sports. Like, I, especially the NFL. I love watching football, and I love Ohio State. But I like watching the game. Like, I sit with people who are in the fantasy teams. They're so stressed out.
Yeah.
By the fan. So I'm like, eh. And then we'll do this even. This is why we personify animals. So I will love my dog more than people. And you're talking to a guy that I love my dog, you know? So, but it, what happens when all of that leads, it's not that any of it's wrong or sinful, but almost everything in excess is sinful or unhealthy.
Yeah.
All of that leads to an isolation and an anxiety and a depression because it's not a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And having other people in your life, we're kind of using this small group as an example, is the antidote to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you go to your life, you drag yourself to life group,
mm-hmm.
and then you, or to your rooted group, whatever it is, your Jesus space, you have a great time and you walk away energized.
Mm-hmm.
But you are trying, you have to like talk yourself out of skipping that week.
Yep.
But we are designed by God to have human interaction. This is where even like during COVID when the whole world was on Zoom, it did not meet a relational need. I don't even know what that is,
mm-hmm.
but there's something about being in the physical presence of someone
yep.
that makes a difference. This is why spiritual leadership, one of the things I say about a spiritual leader is you have to have access to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch, like even if you come to the Bath campus, I might be in the room and you still watch me on the screen,
mm-hmm.
or you watch me on a screen at one of the services, but you're doing it in the presence of human beings. That's even going to a movie is different than watching one on your phone.
Oh, it sure is.
You know, one's a social interaction. You're like yep. with your friend, and then you're talking about it afterwards.
When you go to like those grand opening weekends, people are cheering and clapping. It's so fun and energetic. You watch the same movie, like you said, on your phone, and your biggest reaction will be, huh.
Yeah. you don't get caught up in it. Like watching a stand-up comedian live is different than – well, that is not social awareness. That is biblical design.
Mm-hmm.
And we are designed to interact with each other. We're designed to look into each other's eyes. We're designed to sense each other's moods and mm-hmm. presence. And we need to do that, and we need it done to us. There's a few people in my life that are lovely but lonely. And I'm pretty confident that when they hug me at church, it's the only time a human being touched them that week.
Sure. Sure.
And there's now I'm not work with me here. Don't make this weird, mm-hmm. everybody listening. But like that's why when someone's sick, you rub their arm.
Yeah.
That's why when someone's scared, you hold their hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when somebody gets engaged, you give them a hug mm-hmm. of congratulations. This is all designed by God. So the reason that this is so important more than ever is, again, it's just a diagnosis. I'm not trying to make a bigger statement than that, but our society in mm-hmm. a very unique way the last 20, 25 years with social media and with our phones works against that design.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't build that design in your life, this is why I think I always say about watching TV online. It's a great
watching church.
Church online, yeah. Thanks. On TV is what I was trying to say. Yeah. Watching church online. It's a great supplement. It's a terrible substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think coming to church, the gathering of the church, is more important than ever. And I think small groups is more important than ever. Whatever form that takes, Bible study, you know, there's a sports teams, there's a billion of them here at Grace. But it is the presence and it is the energy and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that, you're known.
Yep.
You know, and so we're sitting here, our producer Jason is a mutual friend, obviously, of both of us. And we're just sharing life. I haven't talked to Jason until today. Mm-hmm. See him. We see each other all the time. But we picked up a joke we were joking with last week.
Yep.
Well, we wouldn't. I wouldn't text that to him.
Nope.
It wouldn't necessarily even be funny if in a text. But we just started teasing and laughing back and forth. You have to have that in your life. Now, the reason we have that is because the three of us set up a time and showed up in a room together.
Yep.
And so it feeds a friendship. This setting wouldn't be like the place to have a ultra personal, ultra deep conversation, but it would be the platform to ask for one.
Yes.
And so it just kicks all of that up. So sometimes gathering in like a small group is like fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. You know, everybody, or at least I do, Heidi and I get together with friends sometimes for dinner. Mm-hmm. That's the agenda. And we just are enjoying each other and loving each other. Sometimes it's deep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a job attached to it. That's what a Bible study is, a task that you are doing together. Now, that can be a lot of fun.
Sure.
It can be a work day. It can be a basketball team. But the way that God designed us, human beings cannot do life alone, and you can really not follow Jesus by yourself. Christianity is a team sport.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the beauties of, designed environments, like some version of a small group or the team or the serving team, like you said, because the expectations of what you do with people in those places is like a safety. So like if I actually just got invited to go to a poker night. If I'd have said yes, I actually couldn't. My dad's birthday dinner is that night. And I'm terrible at poker, so that's probably better anyway.
I can't. My kids try to teach me to play. I'm like, I have no idea.
But if I'd have said yes, and if I would have went, this week in our Rooted group, we're going to talk about how do you hear from God. So if I'd have showed up to the poker night, and I'm eating some chips and drinking a Coke, and all of a sudden I'm like, how do you guys process, like, listening to the voice of God? They're like,
we just want to hang out, man.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, I'm really curious. Like, even if they eventually will jump onto that conversation, everyone around that table is like, what? How did we get here, right? Whereas when you sit down in your small group and you ask that question, they're like, I'm really glad you asked. That's exactly what you're planning on talking about.
Yeah, that's the way every relationship works. Mm-hmm. If you get together, like there's a time this in 2026 in December where Dr. Doom and the third installment of Dune, the movie, are coming out on the same day.
Yeah, it's going to be a big month.
I guarantee you I'm spending most of the day in a movie theater that day, right? So we'll make it like a family event.
Yeah.
We'll get together. We'll call our friends. Well, all we did was organize an activity. Doing things that lead to spiritual outcomes are the exact same thing.
Yep.
And that's your illustration with like a rooted group, a prayer meeting, a Bible study, on and on and on. So there's nothing unusual about that. What is different about the church is we prioritize that on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
So we would look and say, the scripture is very clear that when I accept Jesus, I'm adopted into a family. That family's called the church, and the church is to love each other and serve Christ together. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Like, why are you always trying to get us in a small group? I'm like, because of that. It's a part of your discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's a part of how I'm in a small group.
Yep.
Right? So, and I have been my whole life. And it's a part of how we follow Jesus. So we don't do it just for spirit or just for emotional reasons or just relational reasons. The reason that the church is organizing that and would push and want you to be a part of it is we know it's healthy emotionally. We know it's healthy relationally, but we know it's commanded spiritually.
Right.
And so we prioritize it in that way.
Yeah, God is shocker, looking out for us. Like, he's trying to help us have these connections, these experiences, these growth moments, these opportunities to share and open up and really process some of the, what's going on in life, to ask the questions. He's like, and he knows how we're wired. Literally, he created us. So if we're never in those environments,
yeah,
if we're never around other people that are willing to have those conversations, they stay inside and they don't get processed and they don't get lived out, and then they rarely get applied. And then we wonder a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, while we're in the same place we were, it's because we never allowed ourselves to be in an environment to see that really come to fruition. I wrote down a few things that were just like, what do you get out of being in a small group? And it's like, well, obviously you grow more. I know that that was one of the things when Mandy and I rejoined a life group. It was probably 7 or 8 years ago now. Like, we noticed even within the first couple of months, we're like, oh, like, we're having conversations we haven't naturally had in a long time. You carry less, you have other people to lean into. That's been huge. Your life steadies when it feels like unsettled.
Because there's a rhythm
to it. Yeah, you have a natural cadence. You know what to expect. You have people that you know you can lean into or text. You feel like you belong to something. I mean, I'm one of the pastors at this church, and being in a small group helps me and my wife and my daughter feel more relationally connected to our own church. And so there's all kinds of things that we could keep listing out, but you don't get those kind of things if you're not in an intentional environment with other people.
And you will not regret it. And that doesn't mean that you won't have to personally invest in it.
Sure.
And it doesn't mean that sometimes relationships are taxing. But guys, it's, as a rule, it's the least dominant thing on our time.
Yeah.
The average North American watches social media 7 hours a day. That's adults. It's not kids.
Yeah.
So the thing that's chewing your time up is your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're streaming at home, that's where your time's going.
Yep.
And when you invest time in the Lord and you invest time in relationships, I'll bet you sushi that
if I'll bet you a good Italian New York pizza. But you go ahead.
Go with me, guys. Sushi. I bet you that if you spent a day at work, came home, changed your clothes, went to your life group, got into a really rich conversation. This happened to me last night. I got home at 11 p.m. I never picked up my phone. I never turned on my television, and I had a great day.
Yep.
And it because I was with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was with people that I love and were enriching to me. Yep. And you were a part of that. We even had some weighty conversations we were having. Yep. But my soul was filled, and it was funny. My mind, I was tired. I slept great because I hadn't alerted my brain with the phone. I hadn't kicked in all the, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff that goes with that. It was a great day,
Jeff.
If you said at the beginning of the day, I would have said I got a brutal day.
Yep.
I went from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. last night. I was like, that's a brutal day. At the end of the day, I'm like, that was a good day.
I had almost the exact same reaction. I only went from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., so you got 2 more hours on me. But no, I walked into the one meeting we were in together last night, and I'm like, I just want to go home, was my emotion walking into that meeting. And I'm like, that was just where I was at. And I literally, about the last half hour of, I'm like, this was one of the most enriching couple of hours I've spent in a long time. It was so great. But you have to you have to discipline yourself to be a part of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really, really good. So if we're asking the question, what in the world are the benefits of being in community with other people? This is where we're at. This is what we're trying to encourage. These are the types of environments we're trying to help cultivate around here at the church. And so when we say, make this a priority, jump in with other people, we want you to be out of the cultural, isolated, doom-scrolling, whatever culture, and into these rich environments to have real conversations and build real relationships. It's always worth it. If you have questions that you'd like us to tackle here at Mixed Messages, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixedmessages. Go ahead and send them our way. And we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So don't be a stranger. Reach out. This actually just happened to me this last week. It was great. Such an encouragement as this person. We were talking about a couple of the episodes. And you can even do that. Encourage us by subscribing, following, rating, and reviewing. It's a subtle, easy way. Ironically, it's an isolationist way to tell us that you're appreciating the conversation.
Or but, stop us in the lobby.
Yeah. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend if you're looking for a place to begin finding these types of relationships. So thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages.